Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The opening of the first six seals, you may recall, had unleashed the riders of ruin, with man's sin bringing judgment upon himself, war, economic devastations, pestilence, and the persecution of Christians. This universe is so frustrated by the curse on sin that it may often seem like the very world is falling apart. Listen to these dramatic words then that conclude Revelation 6. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and under the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And yet, chapter 7 then brings us the assurance that Jesus remains so in control that all these things will not prevent him from bringing even one of his elect into paradise. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, from the eyes of everyone who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so the opening now of the seventh seal sets before us the very mighty of the world cowering under any rock that they think might hide them from the wrath of God. The believers eagerly awaiting the glory of heaven. And so all, verse 1, stand in silence before the Lord. Habakkuk 2. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And that silence is compounded, for it is not the expected end that is unveiled, but rather sterner judgments, by which Jesus, in long-suffering patience, seeks to provoke all to repentance. It's in that startled silence that a trumpet blasts. Will you take it to heart? It's instructive that the opening of the seven seals in Revelation 6 have unveiled all the judgments that Jesus in Matthew 24 foretold would come in these last days, except false teaching and apostasy. Instructive, for that is exactly what is now unveiled in the seven trumpets. Because people, 2 Thessalonians 2, did not receive the truth in love, they are captured by the deceptive webs of Satan's lies. Jesus allows even false teaching to blast through this world to provoke men to repentance, to an uncompromised love of the truth. But you might wonder, how is it that the prayers of the saints, verse 3, ascending as incense, pleasing to the Father through the sacrifice of Christ, become, verse 5, the very fire of judgment on and through false teaching? But we cannot pray, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," without praying that every lying delusion, every impenitent resistance to Christ is burnt up. And so, with the first trumpet blast in verse 7, we are shown how these satanic lies obscure the light of life, poison the water of life, consume the trees and the grass, the food of life. I read recently a very sad example of this judgment of heresy. It took place in connection with a Lutheran conference on liturgy. And one of the conference sermons, it was reported, was on the importance of recycling. Another was a warning that you shouldn't talk about Mother's Day on Mother's Day because the lesbians may be offended. The text for the third was the crucifixion of Christ, and so the reporter thought, well, at least we'll hear some gospel now. But it was not to be. The sermon indicated that the lesson of this text, which he then called a fictional account, is that at least we don't have it this bad, so keep a stiff upper lip. Behold, how they have fallen. And the sponsor of this conference just 80 years ago had been very influential in preserving the scriptural teaching of law and gospel. Satan's lies can infect and destroy also us. The trumpet is blasting a warning that, yes, also we are always just one generation away from losing the gospel. What about you? Will you take the warning to heart? We should be aghast at how this conference was despising Christ, His name, and His kingdom. But what about us? How often do we fail to receive the truth in love? Maybe instead feeling bored during church, or daydreaming about a romantic or athletic feat during chapel, or fretting during religion class that surely other religions have validity, but it is only the holy, precious blood of God's own Son that can wash you clean from all your sins. It is only Jesus' perfect obedience as your substitute that enables you to stand before God righteous, enables your prayers to ascend through Christ to your Father in heaven. Jesus will preserve His Word. Notice even here, He allowed only a third of the trees to be consumed. The question is, will it be preserved steadfast also among us? The trumpet is blasting. Will you take it to heart? Treasure the truth of the gospel for life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 261, 261.